From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin talks with Andrew Penny of Bayer about being prepared for planting season 2024. Russ learns about the new AF-11 combine from Leo Bose of Case IH. And Dustin and Andy discuss the current agronomic conditions as planting season approaches. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, welcome into another week of Iowa Ag Matters here from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Dustin Huffman, Andy Peterson. Joining me as well, Riley Smith in the back, pulling the switches to make everything sound good. And boy, after a couple of weeks of telling people that we probably need to pump the brakes, don't get too far ahead of ourselves, we're looking at this week's forecast, even into early next week, we can see that Mother Nature finally figured out which season it's supposed to be, even though winter's supposed to end here this week.
No, that's the thing, is she hasn't, because spring actually starts this week and then it's going to be back to winter again. So she's as confused as ever. By the way, happy National Ag Week. Happy National Iowa Ag Week as well. Lots of great celebrations, including one tomorrow night with the Ag Leaders Dinner, and then Thursday night, celebration of Ag in Cedar Rapids with Sonny Perdue as the keynote address. Really looking forward to that. Lots of discussion here today regarding agronomy, termination of cover crops, some sprayers starting to be seen. And right now we dive into the marketplace, getting going with Greg McBride from Allendale, visiting with Mark Magnuson.
Joined today by Greg McBride of Allendale for our opening market discussion. Greg, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
Well, a little bit of mixed trade here. We get the corn and the wheat higher to start the week here. Beans are down just a little bit after seeing some buying early in the overnight. Strong finish to Friday, and then some carryover to start. We did see the funds come out of about 41,000 contracts of their short position in the corn. We did see them also buy back about 17,000 contracts in the beans. So no longer on their record short positions here, and we've seen about 85,000, 86,000. Lightened up on that corn in the last, say, 3 weeks or so.
Greg, what's our current situation for the Corn Belt and the weather forecast, and kind of what we're looking at as we get ready to move closer to planting season?
Well, there is still some dryness concerns, especially across Iowa. You have seen some of the rains that came through probably were not as good as advertised prior to it, but you know, obviously those big storms that came through mid to late last week were more across the eastern belt and into the delta and that area. But we're still watching for some potential dryness concerns. There is a concern about the La Nina cropping up as we move into spring, so there could be a return to dryness there. I don't think it's going to be anything that we're talking, you know, massive drought. We're not talking 2012 at this point or anything like that. But we are going to see potentially that some weather premium comes back to this market at some point.
Greg, what about South America right now and the current situation? What are we looking at with Brazil and Argentina?
Brazil's moving right along with their overall harvest of first crop corn and soybeans. Planting of safrinha corn is going very well quickly. We are still seeing some numbers coming down out of Brazil for their production. Overall production out of Argentina still looks very good. A nice rebound year, about 50 million tons for beans, 56 to 58 million for corn. So it is still, regardless of what you cut off of Brazil at this point, unless it's, you know, it goes completely haywire, we're still talking about a record overall production in South America, coupled with the production that we just had in the fall. We're looking at worldwide production at record levels. This is one of the reasons that you have the depressed prices that we have, is that we just have a bigger pile to pull from this year.
Well, we'll have more coming up from Greg McBride of Allendale later on in the program talking livestock. Right now, Andy's here for his first run through the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Growing concern for the hog industry after the announcement of the Tyson plant closure in Perry, which employed nearly 1,300 people and slaughtered about 8,000 head a day. Carl Seltzer with Consensus Ag Consulting says it may not be the only one. It's certainly bad news for surrounding communities, and the fact the market has not crumbled on this news is supportive long term.
It's detrimental when you see a packing plant close to the local market, the community, you name it. And we probably are going to see a few others close, and I feel bad for that. But the industry on a whole is going to absorb this rather quickly, I believe.
He also notes that USDA's forecast for pork production and hog slaughter numbers actually does increase in 2024.
Number two.
Kicking off a week-long celebration of agriculture during National Ag Week, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagy says that it is the, quote, lifeblood of our state, powering our economy, shaping our way of life, and feeding and fueling consumers here and around the world. While numerous events are being planned to celebrate the occasion, he notes the Ag Leaders Dinner on Tuesday and Celebration of Agriculture in Cedar Rapids on Thursday with a keynote address from former USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue as the highlights of National Ag Week in Iowa.
Number one.
A return to La Nina in the forecast for this growing season, according to the National Weather Service Climate Prediction Center, which announced it foresees a transition from El Nino to what they call ENSO neutral by the time April or June rolls around, with the odds of La Nina developing by June through August at 62%. Matt Bennett, co-founder of AgMarket.net, alludes to the adage of plant in the dust and the bins will bust when he says most farmers would welcome dry planting conditions.
I think the biggest issue right now, of course, is going to be your subsoil moisture situation. A lot of folks are concerned about it. Now, most farmers, you know, if you ask them, they'd be thrilled to plant into dry conditions in the spring, typically from a standpoint and, you know, not having to fight mud and dodge storms. It's a lot better to be able to go into dry soil, get a really good, even emergence-type situation. I think that's what everyone wants to see.
Now, he says even with a potentially drier pattern in place this summer, timely rains could be the difference in the latter portion of the growing season. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Dustin, you mentioned the forecast and perhaps colder and the white stuff coming up may put the pause on some early cover crop termination that has taken place. Some numbers for you next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, as we mentioned, people have been really chomping at the bit to get going, and the weather up until this week had pretty well been supportive of at least getting the ball rolling on 2024. And Andy, we talked, you know, at the end of the last segment, talking about cover crop termination. Obviously, that's got to go on, you know, as weather allows and getting ready for that planting season. But, you know, as we're getting going, it's still early. I mean, what kind of numbers have we been seeing thus far on that early termination?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Noted in the agronomy updates that I keep up with over the weekend and early this morning, there was some spraying that took place last Tuesday or Wednesday. If you remember, the nice warm conditions, recommended guidelines, at least one, if not two nights above 50 degrees, low temperature before and after the application. So you need a nice run of 50 degree lows or higher in order to make sure that the cover crop is actively growing, which is necessary to absorb that glyphosate and translocate it to the roots so that the herbicide actually is able to do its job. Now, there, of course, are exceptions. A few days in the 50s with suns and frost, or with sun out and the frost each night to get the job done. But there's always a risk of respray with that. May not get a perfect kill. Can't always go back and make a second termination pass if necessary. But, you know, I think most, at least I would be in this camp, Dustin, farmers probably would prefer to get that job done with one pass, if possible, not to mention the fact that once you put water in the sprayer, guess what? You got to keep it warm, right? You can't freeze. So that's kind of the guidelines there if you were thinking about doing a little bit of that early. Does feel like, of course, everything is pretty much running a month ahead of normal. Maybe that'll change the end of the week too.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, we're talking about that. We've been mentioning pumping the brakes, and obviously when the weather is fluctuating as much as it is, I mean, we're talking cold today, maybe, 40 degrees here in the Capitol, and then 60 tomorrow, and then back into the 30s by Tuesday. I mean, we're going to be playing that yo-yo now for the next couple of weeks, way normally how spring just shapes up, and we've been spoiled with that warm weather. But as you said, you know, you've got to make sure you keep it warm. You've got to make sure that the ground temperatures are all great and make sure everything is set, because the conditions have to be perfect for these things to work, or you are just wasting money and water and gas and having to make more multiple passes. So not only does that affect the bottom line when you're talking about the cost of the herbicide, but it affects the bottom line across the board, whether that's the fuel prices, you know, because they're not the cheapest things on earth either. I'm sure you know that, Andy. You know, diesel's expensive. And so, you know, the more passes you got to take, the more fuel it takes, and the more product you've got to use. So There's so many facets that go into that bottom line. So making sure that you are that you're getting the most out of that is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And so those are some guidelines and our numbers around cover crop termination. We are still early. Of course, it's still the middle of March, a long way from having to plant into it. Maybe you want to plant green. Some discussion about that too, as far as water availability, water usage of rye. We found last year that in dry areas, letting the cover crops grow until after planting used up additional water. We couldn't afford to lose. Things looked terrible for a long time. Want to avoid that probably if you can, but there is still time between now and then as well. More Iowa Ag Matters coming up in just a moment.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Statewide cash prices adjusting with the run-up in the market here as of late. Dustin Hoffman has a snapshot of the latest numbers for you in those elevators around Iowa. Next on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
It's time to run down those elevator prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters for your Monday. I'm Dustin Huffman. Starting at ADM Burlington, we're 13 cents under on corn. They're at 424. Soybeans 12 cents under at 1180. Cargill Eddyville, they're a nickel under on corn today. Cash bid 432. New Co-op Algona, 14 cents under on corn, 423. Soybeans 60 cents under. Cash bid 1132. Ag State Sheldon, they're a dime under on corn, 427, soybeans 70 cents under, they're at 1122. Ag State Alta, 21 cents under on corn, 416 for the cash bid, soybeans 60 cents under, they're at 1132. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 7 cents over on corn, 444, soybeans a nickel under, cash bid 1187. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, a nickel under on corn, 432, soybeans 50 cents under at 1142. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, they're a nickel under on corn, cash bid 432. ADM Des Moines, 12 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 1180. New Co-op Red Oak, 15 cents under on corn, they're at 422. Soybeans are 50 cents under at 1142. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 28 cents under on corn, cash bid 409. Soybeans 53 cents under at 1139. New Co-op Sheraton, 30 cents under on corn, 407. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1137. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 23 cents under on corn, 414. Soybeans, 43 cents under at 1149. New Co-op Glidden, 14 cents under on corn. Cash bid, 423. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1142. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 18 cents under on corn, 419. Soybeans, 39 cents under. Cash bid, 1153. Cargill Muscatine, 12 cents under on corn, 425. Soybeans, 12 cents under. They're at 1180. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a check of your cash corn and soybean bids here on Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
We've got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the grain and livestock market numbers. Andy and Mark will have that a little later on in the program. Don't forget, you can get free market analysis sent right to your phone and mobile device through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast. You can find them on Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean. More Iowa Ag Matters coming right up.
Well, we continue the agronomy conversation on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy and Dustin Riley behind the scenes here today on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. We've discussed cover crops and gotten some specifics on termination. From more of a high level, though, in regard to timing, let's take a look now with Dustin learning more.
Andrew Penny is an agronomist for Bayer and based out of Ames, Iowa. He talked to me during Commodity Classic about the dry conditions we have in the Corn Belt and what we need to be thinking about here in 2024.
Yeah, you know, the discussion of the environmental factors and conditions that Mother Nature has given us the last few years, you know, it's been huge. You know, whether we're in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, you know, the environment's just been different than what we're traditionally used to, I would say. And so, you know, whether we're in Iowa, whether you're in certain spots within Iowa that have got more or less rain, you know, I think the number one thing on people's minds is just heat and drought tolerance, right? We have all these management practices and selections, you know, just things that we do every year that maybe we're going to start thinking differently about because of the heat and drought. And so, I mean, a prime example, you know, when we're talking hybrids, right, we got to talk yield potential, but we also got to talk heat and drought tolerance. And so it's just, you know, with that too, we have management practices in terms, you know, maybe cultivation or tillage. You know, if we continue to have these dry conditions, we might have to start thinking about reduced tillage just to conserve soil moisture. And so there's just a lot of things that these environmental conditions we faced the last 2 or 3 years are really getting growers, you know, thinking differently about some of their management practices.
Penny says not enough credit can be given to the breeding teams that have developed hybrids that have been resilient in the last few years.
Realistically, if it weren't for our breeding team and all of the traits and technology with that breeding, you know, we would be in a lot different situation. You know, my dad often references the drought of the 80s. And I can't remember what year it is, 87 or 88.
88.
You know, if we had those products now that we had back then, we wouldn't be seeing the yields that we have been. And so I think it's just a real testament to the breeding team within Bayer, but also all the traits and technology that goes into those products they're releasing. So I think it's, you know, despite some of these rough environmental conditions, I still see numerous farmers or even counties have record yields. And so that's just stuff you don't expect with such harsh conditions that Mother Nature has given us, and yet we're still seeing record yields in spots.
Penny says just because we're in a tough situation to start the year doesn't mean we should be timid making our plans for 2024.
I'm kind of in the viewpoint that we kind of hope for the best, plan for the worst. And what I mean by that is, you know, we still got to plan for high yields, right? We can't let the last few years dictate and impact how we manage our crops. You know, you learn from it, but you can't plan for situations. And what I mean by that, you know, you can't just focus on products that don't have the yield potential, but maybe have really good heat and drought tolerance. And why I think we're lucky here at Bayer is, I mean, we have products that have that high yield potential, but we also have extremely good heat and drought tolerance. And so that's why understanding that product background, understanding where those products can get placed, really makes a huge impact with growers. You know, if we can continue to plan for high yields while maintaining heat and drought tolerance, that makes a huge difference in terms of planning for the best, planning for the worst, hoping for the best.
And that's definitely something Iowa farmers have gotten very good at. Well, we'll keep going here on Iowa Ag Matters as we move to Andy Peterson. He's back with another round of three big Iowa Ag Matters here for you on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Number three.
Growing concern for the hog industry after the announcement of the Tyson plant closure in Perry, which employed nearly 1,300 people and slaughtered about 8,000 head a day. Carl Seltzer with Consensus Ag Consulting says it may not be the only one. It's certainly bad news for surrounding communities, and the fact the market has not crumbled on this news is supportive long term.
It's detrimental when you see a packing plant close to the local market, the community, you name it. And we probably are going to see a few others close, and I feel bad for that. But the industry on a whole is going to absorb this rather quickly, I believe.
He also notes that USDA's forecast for pork production and hog slaughter numbers actually does increase in 2024.
Number two.
Continuing to advance towards right to repair, the Justice Department's Antitrust Division and Federal Trade Commission have submitted requests to the U.S. Copyright Office advocating for regulations that would facilitate the right to repair, as the agencies and their officials say they're in favor of consumers and businesses getting to repair their own equipment. Now, the comments submitted suggest that right to repair would increase competition, which benefits, quote, consumers and businesses by making it easier and cheaper to fix things on their own. It also removes barriers limiting independent service providers from doing their work.
Number one.
Growing concern for the hog industry after the announcement of the Tyson plant closure in Perry, which employed nearly 1,300 people and slaughtered about 8,000 head a day. Carl Seltzer with Consensus Ag Consulting says it may not be the only one. It's certainly bad news for surrounding communities, and the fact the market has not crumbled on this news is supportive long term.
It's detrimental when you see a packing plant close to the local market, the community, you name it. And we probably are going to see a few others close, and I feel bad for that. But the industry on a whole is going to absorb this rather quickly, I believe.
He also notes that USDA's forecast for pork production and hog slaughter numbers actually does increase in 2024. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
Dustin, I wasn't kidding about the best ribeye of the year being on Saturday night at the Jones County Beef Banquet. It lived up to expectations once again, and about 30 more attendees than last year there at the Great Jones County Fairgrounds and the Burndy Center. Great night to celebrate agriculture in Jones County, red meat production, of course, and kick off National Ag Week and Iowa Ag Week. So big thanks to all of the Jones County cattlemen. It's an honor to MC it each and every year, and what a turnout, what a meal.
It's always great when you can get a good ribeye out of the whole deal.
A great ribeye, the best one of the year.
I say good as that's an all encompassing positive experience. So
we're fanatical about our ribeyes in Jones County.
Apparently, I didn't know that it was a religion out there, but I will keep that in mind if I ever get a chance to sample a ribeye out there. But yeah, it's a lot of great activities going on this week. Of course, National Ag Day tomorrow. A lot of the events being held, as we said. But right now, we're going to be focusing on markets coming up next, making sure that those red meat markets and the grains that feed them are producing and paying off for our producers next on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Corn prices started out Monday morning with fractional gains across the front months. Corn was up 2¾ to 3 cents on Friday. That left the May contract with a net 2¾ cent loss for the week. March did leave an expiration gap down near $4.20 on the continuation chart. Soy prices currently trading 5 to 9 cents weaker in the beans, $1.80 a ton lower in the meal, and 30 points lower in the oil to start the new week of trading. Soy oil led the rally into the weekend with another triple-digit session on Friday. Strong palm oil interest helped. Beans were 2¾ to 3¾ cents higher on the day, which left May up by 14¼ cents for the week, and November 17 cents higher. Soy oil futures were another 2% higher on Friday, and more than 3 cents per pound higher for the week. Soy meal futures closed in the red on Friday with $2 to $2.50 a ton losses, leading May to $6.70 loss on the weekly chart. Wheat prices are back up by 3 to 8 cents across the U.S. markets today. The Friday wheat market ended with prices off their lows, but still 1 to 8¾ cents in the red. That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
We'll wrap up Friday's cash trade here coming up, Mark, for comparison purposes. Remember where we begin from today. But first, as always, in this portion of Iowa Ag Matters, we start off with the daily estimated cattle slaughter numbers, 113,000 head. That is 4,000 more than a week ago and the same as a year ago. Boxes are stronger here at midday. 70 loads of choice cut selling, $311.90 up $1.12. Select 71 cents higher at $302.40. 11 loads of movement there, and the spread remains under 10 bucks at $9.50. On the pork side of things, we see daily estimated slaughter total numbers coming in at 444,000 head. That is 2,000 more than a week ago and some 17,000 less than a year ago. Cash markets, we finished Friday. Barrows and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchase-wise, with about an average run, 5,000 head. The weighted average price coming in at $79.94, so the market was up 24 cents. Formula purchases, about an average run as well, 153,000 head. Weighted average price, $81.32, so that market finished up about 70 cents. As far as what's happening here today, to kick off a brand new trading week, well, we're seeing a pretty light run of negotiated purchases, only 2,600 head and some change. Weighted average price, $78.92, down $1.82. As far as formula purchases go, 113,000 head of sales. Weighted average price, $82.42, so that market up $1.10.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, May corn is unchanged at 436¾. May soybeans down 8½ at 1189¾. On the Merck, April live cattle up 52 cents at 187.77. April feeder cattle up $2.25 at 254.37. April lean hogs down 17 cents at 86.75. April pork cutout up 55 cents at 93.15. And class 3 milk up 21 cents at 16.22. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Well, as promised, Greg McBride back now from Allendale. Going to find out what's happening in those livestock markets as we get the week started. He sits down again with Mark Magnuson with more.
Greg, let's switch over to the other side of the ag marketplace. What is taking place in the livestock complex?
Well, as we go into to this week, we are still seeing some more sideways trade in the cattle market. It did make it up and fill a gap from back in October on that June cattle. Basically, the April cattle, they filled it to the tick before backing off on Thursday. Kind of seeing a little bit of a back and forth type trade on Friday, but overall still very sideways. We'll be interested to see which way it tries to break out. So far, we continue to make new highs as we go sideways. We haven't made that brand new low in a few weeks, so we'll continue to watch that. On the hog side of things, we did find a nice bounce to come off of couple of days midweek where we slumped a little bit, and the lower trade from the week before. before. Still holding an uptrend, still going in the right direction there. Getting to the upper end of things here, I would think we've got about another buck or two to the high side before you start to run into some more resistance on this chart. But overall, the livestock markets are elevated and so far still holding uptrend.
Greg, what kind of conversations are you having right now with cattle producers and their thoughts right now on the overall situation with how low the cattle herd is across the country and kind of their situation that they're looking at personally?
Well, I think a lot of them are right now kind of in that mode of, do we start to engage some hedges at these levels? Do we, you know, because we do know that the production numbers for at least the next year to maybe even 2 years give us a reason to stay to the friendly side. So if we do get beaten up a little bit like what we saw in, say, September and October last year, we still should be fairly well supported, but there is still risk as far as when, you know, when they're marketing their cattle and whatnot. So at this point, you know, light hedging would be advised, but overall, for right now, we do feel like there's still some continued upside for this, but it's not a runaway train. Like I said, we've been in a sideways pattern for about the better part of 2 months, so it's a slow grind to the high side. It's not taking off like a rocket ship at this point.
Greg McBride of Allendale, our guest here on Monday. Greg, thanks so much for the time. What's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
Greg, thanks so much for the time. Have a great week.
Thank you, sir.
If you thought soybeans were only used for tofu, think again. From tires and adhesives to next-generation asphalt, soy is used to create over 1,000 industrial products and counting. Thanks to your soy checkoff investment, the sky's the limit for Iowa soybean farmers. Oh, and speaking of skies, did I mention soy is also used in sustainable aviation fuel? The Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soy Checkoff, is driven to deliver for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Learn more at iasoybeans.com.
At planting season here, just before it, harvesters may not be top of mind. However, Case IH does have something for you to look at here this coming summer, making plans for the fall. Special correspondent Russ Parker visiting with Leo Bowes from Case IH, learning more about those AF-11 harvesters. Next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, Russ Parker had a chance to visit with Leo Bowes of Case IH, talking about their newest equipment when they're at Commodity Classic as we're getting ready to get geared up for 2024.
I'm with Leo Bowes at the Case IH exhibit. And Leo, if you can tell us a little bit about what you do, and then we're going to talk about the AF-11.
If I could paint a picture to show the listeners behind me is the new AF-11, right? Really are focus in on capacity, technology, and overall runtime. AF-11 delivers on that. And for my farm background, you know, looking at capacity of this machine, it all starts up with a new design corn head. So a C500 series corn header from the divider point to the rear auger, total redesign. So it picks cleaner, picks faster, and ultimately gives us that overall throughput that we're trying to set with this machine. But when we look at this machine, from feeder house to rear spreader, totally redesigned from the ground up.
Yeah.
So when you look at bringing that thicker crop mat into the dual rotors, so axial flow rotors over 47 mm-hmm. years of history, technology, mm-hmm. get into an all-new cleaning system, so an active and dynamic cleaning system to ensure that we're going to save all that grain that we've tried to grow all year long. And then clean grain elevator capable up to 10,000 bushel an hour. No, that's not what the machine can do. Machine's roughly around 6,500 to 7,500 bushel an hour. So when you look at the grain tank capacity, when you look at those throughputs, 567 bushel that we can hold in the grain tank, we can unload at a 6 bushel per second unload rate. So you run the calculations. For my farm background, it's like, wow, I can get that grain tank unloaded in about 100 seconds. So what that means is now I get that grain cart back to the semi so we can get unloaded. We got all the, you know, logistics now is trying to condense that for the producer. But then taking that residue out the back, totally redesigned, and we have radar spread automation. So we're using radar technology So before we'd have to manually maybe adjust the spread based on wind or crop density. Now it's automatically doing that with radar technology. So whether it's dusty, sunny, it now penetrates that and now can adjust it automatically based on what that crop mat's coming out. So we're setting ourselves up for success for next year's crop as well.
And, you know, just looking at the machine, it looks completely different. This is not your my grandpa's combine.
Well, our industrial design group, exactly right. You get the wow factor when you walk up. It looks like it's that next generation. It's edgy right from the cab all the way through to the rear. If you walk to the back of the combine, you look at the back of it, it almost emulates the front of a Magnum or Steiger. So we try to keep that styling cue all the way through it. But purpose by design is that when you open up the panels, we have a lot of, I would say, service platforms, those areas that we've thought ahead, that we know you're going to have to get into the combine, do some servicing, the modules, the chopper area. Now we have platforms that allow that producer to effectively be more comfortable in those areas versus trying to balance on an area. So we've thought ahead in those areas.
So what about versatility at the corn head? Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what are some of the options that an operator has from that perspective.
Yep, so on the corn head, when we look at specifically, it's about saving grain where it starts there. So the stripper plate area, the deck plates, we now have a cushion deck plate that allows us that cushion deck plate to take the inertia out of that cob hitting that deck plate and, you know, try to eliminate any grain that's going to now come off of that cob. But once that whole cob comes back to that, we have a large cross auger, about 24 inch in diameter. So that's really where we pick up our capacity and the new profile of the floor. So as that crop flows through, it's unrestricted. So we can take that higher capacity, you know, 250 bushel, 265 bushel per acre corn crop, and now get it fed into that combine.
And I assume that the kind of the precision part of the whole equation is right there in the operator's eyesight as well.
Yeah, if we look at getting into the cab, and that's one of our second pillars is technology, dual Pearl 1200 displays, so color tablet-style displays. We brought in Harvest Command, which is machine automation, so automatically adjusts rotor speed, cleaning fan speed. And now we have an image of the grain within the grain tank. So what does that mean is, well, you're letting Harvest Command do what it needs to do to make the adjustments, but now you can actually look at the image, so you can look at cracks, brokens, foreign materials, so you can reaffirm what the combine's making for adjustments. So it's getting that insight into the vehicle that you haven't had before.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Another busy day here on Iowa Ag Matters. Thanks so much for joining us. Dustin, appreciate you. Appreciate Riley putting it all together. Thanks to Mark for his help, Russ, of course. And we will join you again tomorrow on Iowa Ag Matters. You can find lots more at iowaagnet.com from your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.